Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So you hear this a lot where everybody says, you know, look, you know, I hear the SIU is busy telling us that they're investigating these high profile cases, but we really want to see people, you know, in overalls and all of that. So SIU, as well as the Hawks, were presenting to SCOPA, and the SCOPA's chairperson is on the line with us, Songe Zozibi. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening, and thank you for being so patient with us. Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me.
So you had a sit down with the Hawks as well as the SIU. And, you know, broadly speaking, they gave you reasons as to why it's moving so slowly. Were you satisfied with those reasons?
So we had the National Prosecuting Authority as well.
Mm.
And what we were concerned with, particularly yesterday, is all of the cases that have been referred to the NPA
mm-hmm.
by the SIU
yeah.
in the course of the investigations, because the SIU does not prosecute
yes.
people. It does not use the mandate, only
yeah.
the NPA does.
Yes.
So we wanted to know what happens when they refer cases to mm-hmm. the NPA. What does the NPA do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And what role the Hawks play in that process?
Mm.
And why cases take so long to bring to court? So that was the subject of the conversation yesterday. And I think we got, I think, fairly detailed explanations of to the questions that we were asking.
A couple of things are in place. There is a mechanism that's been put in place by the presidency to sort of track some of these cases. You made the point that you're not sure that this particular mechanism is going to be effective over a long period of time. What were your concerns?
So, look, I mean, the presidency actually doesn't really track the cases in the manner that it should.
Mm.
And one of the reasons we had all three agencies in front of us
mm.
is because we spoke to the presidency last week, or to the deputy minister and the presidency last week.
Mm.
And that's when we realized, so what we are going to end up with, because we're going to track all of these cases ourselves as a committee,
mm.
is a single template which gets used by the committee, gets used by the presidency, and it gets used by all three agencies
mm.
so that we're all speaking on the same page. For example, quickly,
yes.
the SIU may refer five individuals and companies
mm.
involved in one case
mm.
to the NPA. So there are five entities and people have been referred. The NPA may decide to prosecute them together,
mm-hmm.
which means you move from four individuals to one case,
mm.
or five individuals to one case. During the course of the NPA and the Hawks work, some of those people may turn state's witness, which means they don't get prosecuted because they've decided to become state witnesses. So we need to kind of synthesize all of that information so that we are certain that nothing falls between the cracks, people get held accountable, and all three agencies get to do their work, and the presidency is doing its job in following up on those cases.
An example you've just given, for instance, is what the NPA seems to be doing. That's they seem to be taking the strategy where they're now going for, I don't want to say small, because none of this corruption is small, but you understand the point. People who are not necessarily going to be in the courts for 10 years, who are likely to need a bit more support financially, therefore they will maybe cooperate more with the NPA. They saying that they target those first so that they turn state witness, so that they can then prosecute the bigger guys. Do you think it's working?
Look, that's what prosecutors all over the world do in cases of organized crime, because the very top of criminal organizations never get their hands dirty. And this is something that I think South Africans need to understand, is that you can have a paper trail of wrongdoing, but you still need witnesses. You still need the person who filled in the form to say, yes, I recognize this form. I filled it in myself. I took it to Pimelo as my boss. She stamped it, and this is the conversation that we had. And then somebody else was in the meeting. They also write a statement to say, yes, it is correct. What Duduzi here says about the conversation with Pimelo, really happened. So what prosecutors all over the world tend to do is to start with the so-called small fish, put pressure on them, turn them into state witnesses, and then move up the chain so that they may verbally implicate the people that gave the instructions without getting their hands dirty in terms of the paperwork. So that's the theory, and generally it works. The problem you've got in South Africa is that some of the cases under investigation happened so long ago that the quality of the evidence has degraded. So there are cases where proclamations from 2014 and the wrongdoing happened in 2012. It's now 12 years later, right? Documents are lost. People have left those companies or those employers. They've got to be found and they've got to remember. So I'm not making excuses for them.
Sure.
We wanted to understand as a committee, what's the problem? What takes so long in some of these cases? So that we may then work on solutions so that things can be accelerated.
Do we then get the sense, you know, from where you were standing, that the recommendations by the SIU are taken seriously by all the other agencies that actually need to look into them? Is that the sense you got?
Look, that is the sense that we've got for two reasons. One, some of these cases have indeed been prosecuted and people are in prison. Right, the SIU has told us as much. The difficulty we have is that this is not happening fast enough, and there's not enough people. So that's the one thing. But the second reason is that we were able to see how many cases are still under investigation, how many are awaiting decision by a prosecutor, how many are going to be enrolled in court, how many are in court, and so on. So you can see that cases are in various stages. I don't want to depress South Africans, but the cases referred to by the SIU are a very small fraction of the number of corruption cases under investigation, unfortunately, because the presidency doesn't issue so
proclamations,
many
proclamations. Yeah.
You know, so the number, so I would say
that is depressing.
We were dealing with like 5%. It's just that they're very high profile, they're in the news, there's digital vibes, they make news. But the reality is, if you look at all the municipalities, and they showed us a chart where they said, this is just the top 10 municipalities. Can you see how many cases there is? All of the municipalities have issues with corruption and so on, and we have to investigate all of them. So the picture is depressing, you know, but we can't give up the fight. We've got to keep at it.
You know, there are other mechanisms that if they were functioning and they were working, we would have perhaps lesser problems, you know, vetting systems that were working. We understand that that backlog is so long that we have officials, very senior officials who, yes, were not quite vetted because there's a backlog and they take office and they continue with their very important duties having not been vetted. We've seen that actually ourselves. And so sometimes there are preventative measures we can take, but that's also not working.
Look, I mean, vetting is one of the issues we're tracking quite closely. In fact, with every institution that comes before the committee, we ask about vetting. How many senior executives have been vetted? Successful, who's outstanding? When are they going to be vetted? We want everybody in supply chain management to be vetted. We want everybody in senior management and in supply chain management to undergo a lifestyle audit, and those need to be performed before they can take over the function they're being appointed to. And then periodically during the time that they're in the job and so on, so that we can start preventing corruption instead of responding after the fact that the investigations take too long.
No. That's exactly the point. You know, the audit committees, internal audit committees themselves, you know, have compromised people. They get themselves quite bullied and all of that. So, yeah, I would say that South Africans would feel much better if there are other measures that are working before we even get to the point where we are now chasing them as cases.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, the other area of focus that we've been driven, I'm so glad you've mentioned the internal audit function and the audit committees. We are going to start calling audit committee members to Parliament to come and account.
Good.
Because there is no reason why an entity that has got an internal audit function and an audit committee of the board would struggle to produce financial statements.
Good. No, that's good news. No, that's good news to our ears. Really, thank you so much for that. SCOPA chairperson, Songezo Zibidje, just giving us a sense of, you know, what happened when the Hawks and the SIU and the NPA presented to Parliament this week. And, their committee was doing some really good work. So, yes, we're getting somewhere. That's the sense I'm getting.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.